The NCAA is allowing players to profit off their name, image, and likeness in 2021. What does that mean for video games? Plus, a huge leak of The Last of Us Part 2 is out there, but it's not from an employee. Tonight is May 3rd, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Hi. How are you doing? How are you holding up? I'm doing well. Everything worked today, so this is going to be a good show tonight, I hope. So hello, welcome to hopefully a good edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network on Sunday night, welcome. If not, we tape this podcast every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, where I actually run some video stuff as well before and after the show. And so you're not missing anything, I promise. But if you are available on Sunday nights and want to be here live and have your chat comments read on the air, feel free. If not, though, you can join our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week. And some of your comments may make it on the air. You can talk back about any of the topics or suggest topics that we're going to talk about tonight. Or you can go to our website, vognetwork.com, and comment on an episode if you already have an account. I don't think new accounts are working on there. But if you had an account at some point, remember your password, then you can participate that way. So let's go ahead and jump right in to some viewer comments from previous episodes. I had spent a lot of last week talking about why PAX and Dragon Con have not canceled yet. Both take place in September. And they put out statements last week stating that that they're still going on as planned, that everything's going on as planned. They're planning, they're inviting guests, they're going to make guest announcements, they're assuming that things are going to be happening. Now, most people probably believe it's not going to happen, and so why wouldn't they say, you know, why wouldn't they just go ahead and cancel? And the short version of my 15 minutes last week that I spent on this is that if they voluntarily canceled, they don't get to claim insurance money, and the hotels get to keep all the money, and the venues, in case of PAX, get to keep all the money, all the deposit, and they may not be able to afford to do it in 2021. So they are waiting for the government to come in and say, you can't hold a gathering of this many people. But the government can't say that unless it's 2 months out. Case in point, in Atlanta, where Dragon Con is, May 1st, the Peachtree Road Race was postponed to Thanksgiving, which is on July 4th. And it's a big, you know, I don't know if it's a 5K or 10K. I don't run it. But it's a big road race in downtown Atlanta. It's been a July 4th tradition since before I was born, which was 29 years ago. Wink, wink. Even before then. But it was on July 4th, and they were basically planning on it happening on July 4th until May 1st, when the government could say, yeah, not going to happen, because now it is within that two-month window. So July is when Dragon Con, when PAX, will be in that two-month window. So July 1st could be when Dragon Con says, yep, we're not taking place this year, but at that point, they'd be able to collect insurance money. They'd be able to salvage most of their deposits, put in stuff for next year, have everything. And I'm sure that they've got a plan worked out. So on July 1st, they can flip that switch once they get that. But they cannot do it before that date, because if they cancel before they are forced to, then 2021 might not ever happen. You know, we'd lose it. It'd be gone. Like, there wouldn't be a Dragon Con 2021 to go to, and they wouldn't be able to refund people, or they may refund people, and they'd have to go out of business to refund everybody because they're not going to have any money because they pay for the next year's conventions with the previous year's conventions. So that's the short version of why they haven't closed yet. If they haven't closed by the end, if they haven't canceled by the end of July, then you can pretty much guess that it's going to happen. But if like the first week of July happens, that's when they're going to announce the canceling. So SJ1er Matt in our chat says MAGFest gave an almost identical statement this week. Everything is going on a plan, and MAGFest is in January. Right now, Summer Games Done Quick, they're postponing to August because it was supposed to be in June, and they were able to do a postponement because they're a smaller event. They can actually do that, so they were able to get new dates in August. But in June, they may be forced to cancel, depending on what's going on in Minnesota at that time. So E3VL brought up something to kind of add to this, because I mentioned that I do know people that do smaller events, working with event promoters and stuff like that, because I am I'm actually a gigging professional musician. So I haven't played a drum in a year now, it seems. But so because none of the events are happening. And E3VL even brought up that a friend of the family has a similar situation as DragonCon and PAX, but on a much smaller scale. Wanted to cancel their wedding venue since most won't be attending. The company increased the cancellation prices after the COVID situation. Their lawyer advised them to wait. So essentially, like, because there's weddings that are being scheduled, and you know, if your wedding is in August, you are out those cancellation fees if you cancel now. But if the government says you're not allowed to have a mass gathering of over 10 people by the time your wedding happens, then you can get more of your fees back. And the lawyers are even advising to wait for the government to say no mass gatherings of that amount of people. That's the sticky situation. So to reiterate the reason I talked about this 15 minutes last week, it is not do not blame DragonCon for, you know, claiming that they're money hungry, because I know a lot of people can do that. You know, they're not money hungry. They are trying to salvage 2021. If they cancel now, they're gone. And some people may be okay with that. It may be an acceptable sacrifice. Oh, you know, remember the good times we had at those conventions? They made the noble sacrifice of, you know, destroying themselves so people wouldn't get sick, which I can understand that would sound like a noble sacrifice to people. But they are doing the right thing for their business, and they are going to do the right thing, and especially if, because Atlanta does have a mayor that is going to do the right thing, you know, because hopefully by then she'll be able to make her own decisions. Right now, that's not the case in Georgia. I really don't want to get into politics right now, but there's a fun, you know, the governor and the mayor of Atlanta are kind of at odds at things. But the right thing is going to happen. And we all know that mass gatherings like conventions, events, concerts, sporting events with fans are going to be the last things to open up. It's not going to happen in September, but DragonCon's going to going to plan until July like it's happening. Rob Roberts says, I would bet most people commenting on the internet they don't care if DragonCon closes forever and never went. Big thing to keep in mind about keyboard warriors. Breakman says, I bet a Bobby Blackwolf political podcast would go for 7 hours and he would need to go see a doctor. I actually do not really talk politics. And it's kind of funny. Like, and I especially keep it away from like acquaintances and stuff. A lot of people don't know which way I lean. And I keep it that way because I can do that. I do vote. I do participate in the process. But I try not to give my opinions. That's why I'm actually not commenting on what's going on in Georgia, because I do have comments that some that many agree with and a few tiny that people don't. I'd rather talk video games. And so I'm not here to tell you how to think. It's all you. It's all on you. So no Bobby Blackwolf political podcast. E3VL does talk about video games, so let's go talk about video games now. Let's stop talking about what's going on in the world. We've acknowledged that it's happening. I hope that you're staying safe, and I hope that you're doing well, and I hope that you're able to be getting through this as best you can with the tools that you have. But E3VL continues, and let's talk about video games, because we were talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake a little bit last week. I have gotten up to chapter 14, and there's 18 chapters, so I'm probably another 8 or 10 hours out, but I'm past the halfway point. Chapter 14 is the third area of a bunch of side quests, and that's all I'm going to say. So I've opened up all those side quests. So E3VL says, on Final Fantasy VII Remake and its linear story, because Final Fantasy VII Remake is definitely corridors, thin corridors, linearity. You're going here, and you can't do anything else except go there. You may be able to go over there to get a treasure, and then you're back on the path. He says, because of our linear story, you have to make a gameplay and story balance. How many times you've played a Grand Theft Auto game where the main quest has this rush of urgency of the kidnapped person is going to die by the end of the in-game day, only to break the immersion of having done a few in-game days of side quests to level up for the main mission? Yeah, I mean, it's... And Final Fantasy VII does that a little bit, too. It's like, oh, you know, we've got to get ready. You know, hurry, 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 but there's a side quest over here you can do, and you really should do that side quest before you hurry, hurry, hurry. I forgive sandbox games like GTA, Saints Row, Skyrim, etc. as exploration, playing around with in-game physics, and watching stuff crash and blow up tend to take precedence over the main story. I've never beaten one. Well, no. I have completed Saints Row the Third and Saints Row 4. But I have, like, GTA? No. Skyrim? No. I think I fought, like, one dragon in Skyrim, and I'm like, okay, I'm just now going to, like, just mess around. I think many bash on Final Fantasy XIII due to the expanded lore of the Falseed, Lucie, Sanctum, Pulse, Cocoon, other terminology, not easy to understand every time you reach a checkpoint. Thus, gamers focus on the linearity more than other games in the franchise. Final Fantasy XV can feel too open with the driving from place to place. I think Final Fantasy VII Remake strikes a good balance, only opening up the world a bit once the major story plot is concluded. I agree with that. You know, I am enjoying Remake. I like the way that it's on rails, and then there's a little break, and you can, you know, kind of explore around. But you really want to do all those side quests, so you're just doing them in whatever order you want. But it's still a line, and I still contend that every Final Fantasy is linear like that in some sense. You have this illusion of open world, you can do anything, but in reality, in Final Fantasy, the reality is you actually can't go over there until you are a certain level, or you can't go over past this area until you get this item from this dungeon, and so it's funneling you into this one area. It's just the hallway's really wide, but you still got to go. There's one door you've got to go to. Questbuster says, NPC says, meet me in the city so that we can put a stop to him before it's too late. Then Questbuster just runs away to explore the world instead in Assassin's Creed. Which, there's a new Assassin's Creed coming. It's about Vikings. Fifth Dream Today says, you can't save the world without doing some fishing, picking flowers, fetching cows for someone, making armor. Now, you can't. Because you've got to be a well-rounded individual. And Breakman says, in Final Fantasy II, you can walk outside of the path, but you are immediately slaughtered by brutal, hard enemies. This is true. I want to say something, though, about Assassin's Creed, because this, I remember seeing this. Assassin's Creed, the new Assassin's Creed, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one in the Vikings. They released a cinematic trailer this week. And did you notice in the trailer that, like, the main bad guy, like, they shoot him in the knee? And then he just pulls the arrow out and, like, slaughters more people. And I'm like, you know, back in my day, that would end my career as an adventurer. And then I'm going after people's sweet rolls. Did you notice that? He took an arrow to the knee in Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. He took an arrow to the knee and continued slaughtering dudes. He wants his sweet roll. So thank you for the comments. If you want to leave comments, you can actually do it in the Discord. I'll go through there as well and read them. In the Bobby Blackwell Show text chat channel, I actually monitor that throughout the week, so we could even have some conversations and continue on talking about that kind of stuff. Or you can, if you have an account over at VOG Network, you can leave it on a comment like E3VL did. So we don't get to talk about sports games all that much on this show. SJ Winter, Matt's like, ooh, sports. And I don't know what you guys like better, me talking about sports or me talking about VR. But I'm talking about sports. And there was a big thing going on with with my favorite sport game franchise from EA Sports, which is NCAA football. And I have my Xbox 360 actually in my office. And so I still every once in a while play NCAA Football 14 on my Xbox 360, which is the last one that they did before Ed O'Bannon sued because they used his likeness and his stats in an NCAA basketball game, and he wanted royalties from it. So the NCAA says, okay, we can't. We just won't do it anymore. So this week, it came out that the NCAA is finally going to allow players to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, and they are working on rules to make that happen. So CBS Sports reports that on Wednesday, the NCAA's Board of Governors announced that it's supported proposed rule changes to allow college athletes to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness rights. One of the first questions asked in response was along a way to one, what does this mean for the defunct NCAA football video game franchise? So here we go. Are we going to get it? Because this is going to go into effect in 2021. So they're going to approve the rules later this year. And in 2021, people can start, you know, making money off of their name, image, and likeness. They can accept money for autographs and endorsements and stuff like that. So obviously this means that the video game is going to be back in 2021. The team at Tiburon or whoever EA Sports is going to have working on it, they can start working from home and, you know, get that Madden engine working with college teams again. No, not going to happen. Fans have been clamoring for a return of the Electronic Arts video game ever since it stopped production in 2013 in the heat of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. Since the NCAA wasn't willing to put its name on the game, nor member institutions willing to appear in it, there was essentially no game to make. However, Wednesday's news did not provide much optimism that the game would return in the future. Page 24 of the working group's final report states the following, quote, at this time, the working group is also not recommending any changes to the NCAA rules to permit group licenses of student athlete name, image, and likeness in what are characterized as group products like video games. They specifically said video games. There are legal hurdles to such activities that preclude it as a realistic option for implementation at this time. The working group recommends that the NCAA continue to explore whether these legal hurdles can be overcome through efforts described in Section 6 so that this issue can be revisited in 2021 or later. Unquote. So, according to a tweet from Nicole Orbach, Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East Conference, says that the group licensing like video games and replica jerseys is unworkable in college sports, largely because there is no union or collective bargaining unit. So because there is no unionization of college players like there are of pro players, so that's what the NFLPA is, and they negotiate name, image, and likeness to video games on behalf of all the players, if they're part of the union, which several players very famously weren't part of the union. You know, NBA has a union, MLB has a union, all the players' associations, so they can collectively bargain to get their names in there, which is why back in the old days you would have a game that had the NFL license but not the NFLPA license. So it would have all the teams, but it wouldn't have the players. Or it would have all the players, but it wouldn't have the teams. They would use generic names for the teams. So you would find that when they're not working in tandem. Since the NCAA does not have a players' union that can collectively bargain on behalf of all players, they don't see – it would be up to each student to grant their name, image, and likeness to be with everybody else. And right now they don't allow that. This is for singular student athletes to do their one only thing. To they can do it on behalf of themselves, but not necessarily as a group. So they're going to have to find a way around that. And the rules apparently leave it open to discuss in 2021. So I'm not saying we're never going to get it back, but we're not going to get it for 2021 because they're not going to be allowed to do it. Ironically, the lack of a union in college athletics is the holdup when around the same time as the Ed O'Bannon suit, Northwestern football players were attempting to form a union. though the NCAA is giving ground on the rights platform for name, image, and likeness, unionizing is an entirely different but equally complicated situation. The problem is not that a new NCAA football game wouldn't be profitable enough to pay out the players for the use of their likeness. They would be able to pay them three times over, maybe. Maybe more. But how the funds would be distributed. Then again, the devil's in the details about everything in the working group's report. There are a number of guardrails, regulations, and restrictions before any new rules can be enacted. Moreover, the NCAA wants Congress to help craft legislation that would provide a safe harbor for protection against name, image, and likeness lawsuits. This, of course, being asked during a global pandemic and an election year. So who knows? But this is in response to the fact that I think California passed a law that says that the name, image, and likeness rights have to be given to players by January of 2021, or they can't operate in the state. And so they kind of pushed – California kind of pushed the NCAA into this. So the rules are expected to be written on by October 31st with a vote occurring no later than January 31st, 2021. Name, image, and likeness rights would be in effect for the 2021-22 athletic season for all athletes at all levels, not just football, not just basketball, but also the – yes, there's NCAA bowling. There is actually a bowling NCAA varsity sport, and this would apply to them as well. Whether the new NCAA football franchise finds its way into these rules remains to be seen, but the outlook as of today is not rosy. But if the future of a college athlete's name, image, and likeness rights is at stake, the future of a video game franchise, frankly, isn't all that important. Questmaster says, wow, this is a big burden to put on players, agents for everyone. That's kind of why they want, for the video game, it would be good to have some kind of union or something that collectively bargains on behalf of the student athletes. Because then EA Sports can work with the union and pay the union, and the union pays out to the players. That's how it works with the NFLPA, the MLBPA, the NBA Players Association, NHL, MLS, all that stuff. But not everybody's a member of those unions. There is a certain coach in the NFL who every year in Madden you get to see NE coach, because he just doesn't feel like joining the coaches union, and he just doesn't feel like letting Madden use his likeness because, you know, he doesn't have to. You know, whatever. He doesn't care. There was also a big-name NBA player who wore number 23. He also was not a part of the basketball players' union, so he was not in many of the video games. As Sharon and Matt says, Barry Bonds as well. Yeah, there were a couple high-profile ones that could command a lot of money. They figured they could get more money on their own than they could with the union. So, yeah, so Questbuster actually asked earlier before I went into the answer, so I've already answered this, but basically would that mean that every NCAA player has to negotiate separately? Without a union, yes. Every NCAA player would have to negotiate with EA Sports separately, which is why having that group that can collectively bargain is really in the students' favor. It really is. So that's why, even though I would love to have NCAA football 21, it's not going to happen. I can still hold out. We're closer. We are one step closer to NCAA football 22. So we're one step closer. We're closer to it than we were last year. So I am happy about that. In the meantime, EA Sports servers are still up for NCAA Football 14. So if this upcoming season doesn't happen, they will still create the rosters because there's the locker where you can download players, the rosters, and people actually go through. And I've got the 2020 or the 2019-20 rosters on my Xbox 360. So you can actually go in and play with the current rosters. They've got stats for them and everything, and it's pretty accurate. They spend a lot of time. It's usually the Operation Sports .com forums. They still have a roster editing community, and you can download them over through the EA Sports online services that they have. So it's easier to do on the PS3 because they can actually just directly edit the save file on the PS3 instead of using the in-game user interface. Whereas on the Xbox 360, they have to use the in-game user interface to edit it, and it takes a lot longer that way. So there's that still. As Jeremy Matt says, Operation Sports Forums keep a lot of these games going, including the MVP baseball games. Yeah, they're always where I went for rosters, because the way NCAA football used to do it, which is why they got in trouble, is because if you've never played in NCAA basketball, did the same thing. So if you've never played one of these college games, what EA Sports would do is they couldn't use the name, image, and likeness. So what they did is they just took out the name, and they didn't scan the face of the player. But, you know, they would just have the number. So quarterback number 11, who happens to be this height, who happens to have this arm speed and this speed, or this running back who happens to be number 23, and he happens to have this speed. It so weirdly just corresponded to the actual roster. So all you had to do was you go in with the roster. I'm like, oh, yeah, number 11, he's a junior. He's a junior quarterback. Huh. Yeah, let me put his name in. And it actually did. Once you did that, then even the announcers would say the names. So the announcers recorded all the names. They just couldn't ship with you the names actually in the code. So you would input the names, and that's how they would get around the rule. And that's what Ed O'Bannon was upset about, is that, yeah, his name wasn't in it, but it was his number, his stats, his abilities, and everything. And that's why he sued. But if then we don't have to do that. If name, image, and likeness gets approved, then we don't have to go through all that, and it just ships with all the quarterbacks' names and all the players' names. So let's move on to a game that's not sports and not VR. Sorry, Brad. I don't think you're drinking tonight. So there was a big leak that happened this week, and there's a lot of people that were kind of wondering where it came from and speculating about where it came from, why it came from. And stuff like that. Kotaku reports that earlier this week, what appeared to be major spoilers from The Last of Us Part 2 leaked on YouTube and Reddit. So it was apparently development footage, and it showed the ending, and a lot of people hated it, because that's what we do if we don't like endings, is we complain about it on the internet. Because, you know, it's kind of a fine line. There's a fine line between telling the story that you want to tell as a storyteller and catering to the consumers. And a lot of people who play narrative video games consider themselves consumers of content, so it really needs to cater to them. It's not about the story that is wanted to be told by the people who write the story. At that point, it becomes, you need to entertain me. It's not about fulfilling you. So that's what a lot of, that's why people are getting upset at the way the story's going, because they don't like it. Even though it's the story that the storytellers wanted to tell, they don't like it. And this is a consumer product. It's not a piece of art to some people. Sony now says that it knows who the leakers were, and contrary to widespread online speculation, can confirm they were not a disgruntled Naughty Dog employee. So that was what was going on, is because, unfortunately, the truth is conditions at Naughty Dog are not all that great. There's a lot of crunch time. They're withholding a lot of bonus payments, royalty payments, and they're overworking people, and you know, the delays just mean longer times of crunch, and people's mental nerves are already frayed with what's going on in the world. They don't need the additional mental nerves of what's going on at work as well. Fifth Room Day says, so a disgruntled Sony employee. No, they say it's also not affiliated with Sony or Naughty Dog. They said that later. So a statement Sony put out says, quote, Sony has identified the primary individuals responsible for the unauthorized release of The Last of Us Part II assets. They are not affiliated with Naughty Dog or Sony, unquote. That's what they said in the statement, that it couldn't comment any further on the circumstances around the leak as it continues to investigate the matter. There's probably also legal stuff going on, because it's probably a breach of whatever contract. Appearing online last weekend, the leak spoiled major aspects of the game, including the ending. Naughty Dog said in a statement on Monday, quote, it's disappointing to see the release and sharing of pre-release footage from development. Do your best to avoid spoilers, and we ask that you don't spoil it for others, unquote. I have not watched it. I haven't even played the first game, so even if I watched it, I wouldn't understand it. So I'm not going to say anything, please, in chat. Mods, just in case somebody's bringing it up. Don't spoil it in chat. Some news outlets at the time reported unfounded rumors that the leak had come from an upset Naughty Dog employee. It's unclear where the original source of that rumor was, but it appeared to be based on speculation about the state of working conditions at Naughty Dog. In March, Kotaku reported that the studio was in crunch mode, trying to keep the finish The Last of Us Part II, and that the long hours were taking its toll on developers. A debate unfolded on social media over the efficacy of a developer potentially using a leak of this nature to leverage to prompt change in internal studio conditions. Some people argued that any means to effect necessary change would be justified, while others contended that such leaks would only hurt the leaking developer's colleagues and their work. In any case, the rumor that sparked the debate has now been debunked. So yeah, so it's not a Sony, or it's not somebody employed or contracted to Sony or Naughty Dog. So it's not any W-2 employee, it's not any 1099 contractor working for Sony or Naughty Dog. I haven't watched it, but I believe that a lot of the videos were in German. So my hypothesis is that this is an outsourced, possibly a localization team, or an outsourced QA team, somebody who works possibly in Germany, because if they were, I haven't seen them, but I read somewhere that most of the stuff was actually German assets. So it's probably related to the German localization of the game. And they have their own QA team that's QAing the game, and any of them could have leaked it. S. Sharon Matt says, I get the feeling that the reason why we haven't seen an arrest yet is that it's someone outside of the U.S. and they're looking for extradition. And Tiger Claw says, this is a felony, right? I don't think it's a felony because it's just a breach of contract. So it depends on what jurisdiction, if that's a felony or not, because all it is, it's a breach of non-disclosure agreement. That's what this is, which I think is more of a civil case. So it's a breach of contract. That's all this is. Nobody died. It's not life and death. It's really unfortunate, and it does hurt a lot of people that have been working on the game, but other people are thankful. Some consumers are thankful because they're like, well, now I don't have to buy it because I don't like the story, which is, you know what? More power to you. Like, I'm not going to tell you you have to buy something. I'm not going to tell you you have to not buy something. ActF says they'll probably make a lawsuit, but it's going to be a lot of money involved. And Questbus says, I haven't seen the spoilers, but I've read about the apparent rage around them from some quarters. Yeah. Questbus says, there are a lot of stories that I've played through that had elements I didn't care for, but for me, they're like pages in a book that I can't just change. I might not care for it, but I have to respect that it's the story that the designers wanted to tell. So there's a lot of outsourcing that goes on, especially on these large AAA titles, but even on the small ones. An indie developer who made a game and it was moderately successful on PC and stuff, and they were going to do a Switch port. Well, when you're a team of seven, you can't work on all the ports to all the consoles, so they outsource to another company to port their game to the Switch. And I can't remember the game right off the top of my head, but suddenly they were like, hey, by the way, our game's out on the eShop. They didn't tell us. They didn't notify us. It's also not our latest build, so I don't know what's going on, but they outsourced it, which meant that that company can now do whatever they please. And I can't remember what game that was. I saw it as a Twitter thread and I didn't save it, and I don't remember who shared it. ActF saying Indivisible. Is that it? Is that what it was? I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, ActF. S. General Matt says, if it's QA team that leaked it, then they're subject to whatever their NDA says. And it really depends. Like, if they're in Germany, it really depends on the German NDA, because they probably have a contract with Sony Europe, which operates in the EU. So it really depends on what the laws are there, what the EU laws are, what the German laws, if they are in Germany. ActF says, yes, Indivisible from Lab Zero Games. It's the makers of Skullgirls. So that's the game I'm talking about. And basically, the developer came out with tweets like, by the way, we're on the eShop. I had no clue, but it's not the latest version of the game. So we're not sure what's happening, but it's out. Yay. But yeah, contracts are hard. And some people just don't like adhering to contracts. And, you know, the leakers may have decided that they don't have a future in the industry anyway. So why not warn the fans that they're not going to like the story? Act Deft, to add on to the what happened with Indivisible, it was also bad. And this is the part now I remember. Thank you, Act Deft. This is why I love having a chat room. Act Deft's like, I will help you. I will pull you up out of this hole. Indivisible from Lab Zero Games, it was a kickstarted title from the makers of Skullgirls. And one of the Kickstarter rewards was, if you want the game on Switch, we'll give you a code for Switch. The problem is, because of however the contract was done with the company that they outsourced to release the Switch port, they didn't have the codes for the backers. And so Lab Zero Games is like, I would love to give you the codes. We're trying to get them from the people who put our game on the eShop. So, funny T-Man says, I thought it was Indiegogo. It was crowdfunded. Let me go. Just put the general term. It was crowdfunded, and Switch codes were one of the rewards. And Lab Zero Games would absolutely love to give Switch codes, but they're trying to get them themselves. And they were not prepared for the game to already be out on the eShop because apparently it's not done yet. I feel sorry. I feel bad for them because it seemed clear that the person who was tweeting, who actually works on it and was one of the designers of the game, he really wanted to do the right thing, and he just couldn't. So I kind of feel bad. I really do feel bad. And I hope that they get worked out with their contracts and be able to take care of those crowdfunded backers because they want to do the right thing. And thankfully, when I saw the replies in the thread, like the backers understood and they're like, we'll wait for a little bit. But some did say, well, I mean, if it's not going to be the complete version, can I change to a PC code? So I don't know if that happened. Yeah, Questbuster says, I hope Lab Zero can get things straightened out. I do, too. I do, too. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we'll open up the green room if anybody wants to call in, or we can talk about just random stuff, whatever you want to talk about in the gaming industry during this this lovely hour that we have together. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Professor Shy Guy participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
That's right. Professor Shy Guy, we played him actually during the music break. You didn't hear on the podcast, but we played his new album of K.K. Slider covers. K.K. Slider covered his some of his songs, and he released on Bandcamp when Bandcamp was giving 100% of the proceeds to the artists. So it came out on May 1st. You can still get it over there. It's called OK, OK Guy. Didn't play it on the podcast, but you can listen to free samples over at Bandcamp from Professor Shy Guy, who is he's been doing real well. Fifth Dream Today even says he did the new Dragon Ball Super anime. He actually did the did an English ending theme, the English version of the ending theme from that. So he's getting around. So yeah. So if you want to leave a bumper, you do not have had to have worked on an anime ending song. All you got to do is either send me an MP3 or a video of just of something without music behind it, because I'm going to add music behind it, and also if it's video, I'm going to add some stuff on either end. So I'm going to edit the video, but if you want to send that, all you got to do is contact me on our Discord. Go to vognetwork.com/discord, and I will work it in to the show, and you can do that from the safety of your own home. So we are actually going to be taking a call tonight. I'm excited because we're actually going to get a call. So I'm going to go ahead. We usually do this with this server now has video chat. I'm going to have to learn how to do that. I'm going to play. We're not going to use it tonight with this, but the server has video chat on Discord. So we're going to see how that works. But we're going to have an audio call here. I'm going to pull him in and make sure that this is going to work so we can talk about something going on that I don't have much insight into. But Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
Well, there's Evo 2020 canceled. It's a sad thing, really, but it was like expected.
When was it supposed to be?
If I remember correctly, it was going to be the first weekend of August.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like around that that time. So yeah, it was pretty much expected that it was going to be canceled anyway, especially because it is a big event. But yeah, it was expected. It's like I'm kind of sad about it, but at the same time, it's like okay, we'll have to wait until next year. And that's the thing. But they're apparently doing an online event.
Okay.
They're gonna at least from what it's heard or what it's people are interpreting from the tweet Evo sent this week. They're gonna do online tournaments, and mm-hmm. I can tell you that's the worst idea they can have. They can do.
Why is that?
Basically, because the netcode in most mm-hmm. fighting games that they're gonna run, or at least they're going to run at Evo, are like really, really bad.
Okay.
Have you played?
No.
And this is something like, have you played Smash Online?
Yes.
You know how bad it can get.
I know how bad it can get, but I can also know how good it can get.
But most of the time, it's bad.
I actually haven't had that much problem with it, but I also haven't played as much as other people. I have played online, but not over and over and over and over again.
Because even with a LAN adapter, mm-hmm. it can be bad. It's like, mm-hmm. wow.
Yeah.
And if they're going to try and run a 1,000-man tournament or whatever with that kind of infrastructure, it's gonna suck. It's gonna be bad. It's not gonna be enjoyable. And I'm talking only about Smash, but there's mm-hmm. other games like Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Right.
I think Tekken 7 also has really, really bad netcode. The probably the one that salvages more or less, it's Street Fighter V, and even then, it's not that good. So it's like, I really, I'm sad about it. I was expecting, or I was looking forward to Evo this year too, especially with the Marvel 2 Tournament of Champions and all that. Mm-hmm. But if they're gonna do like that, it's like don't do anything at all.
Would it be better if they asked if they said, hey, you know, we're gonna do an exhibition tournament? Where it doesn't count, it's not like for money or something, but they do like maybe for charity or something, where it's the Evo brand, but it's, you know, and it's an invitational exhibition tournament, and, you know, would that be better than doing like a big money tournament?
Yeah, I would be okay like with a small exhibition tournament, like probably the top 8. Top 16, maybe, mm-hmm. with the best people, or even like special guests. I don't know, but yeah, a smaller tournament, an exhibition tournament, and it could be for charity. They could raise funds for mm-hmm. well, the COVID-19 and research, or any other stuff they want to. And that I would be okay with that, with a smaller tournament, but not an official one.
Have they stated it's going to be an official tournament?
They haven't, but...
So you're speculating.
Most people are saying that it's probably going to be that.
Is anybody at Evo... Is anybody at Evo saying that?
Not in a explicit way, in a direct way, but it's like the idea they're handling. It's like...
They're probably looking
the lines.
At... Yeah, they're probably looking at all ideas. Because, like, I mean, everybody's doing that right now. Is, you know, like even like sports, you know, regular sports, they're looking at all the ideas. You know, like if you look at, you know, baseball here in America, Major League Baseball, they've looked at having all the games played at spring training things in Arizona. But then they've also looked at Arizona and Florida and Texas. And they've also looked at redistricting and having everybody in their home stadium. So they've looked at everything, and that doesn't mean any of them's going to happen. So, I mean, it would behoove Evo to go down that route, say, hey, could we do an online tournament? Maybe the answer is no. But if they don't really explore it more than just a knee-jerk, oh, the netcode sucks, they wouldn't be doing due diligence. At least that's the way that I see it. And if they haven't come out and said, we're doing a money tournament, we're doing the normal Evo tournament, it's just going to be online, I think that people are kind of just overreacting and trying to fill in blanks that aren't there yet.
And yeah, it's a, again, it's, it is a speculation, but it would be like really, really bad if they do something like that. And hopefully they won't.
Yeah.
I do hope that if Evo happens this year, it's again like a small tournament, special guests, or probably top players. I don't know. But yeah, if they want to like do like a big tournament with anybody can enter and all that stuff, yeah, it's going to be a real, real, well, I cannot say the word, but it's gonna, it's going to be real bad.
I mean, I can see them wanting to do that where, because they probably want to do something, because right now, like especially like if regular sports aren't back and Evo can work something out where they can get on TV, because right now esports are, you know, ESPN's looking for stuff. And, you know, if they can get Evo on ESPN, that could help for when it becomes an in-person thing again next year. So I don't begrudge them for trying to look at different avenues. And it may be, you know, if they do some kind of tournament and stuff for the exposure, because now they'll actually get more eyeballs if they can pull something together while the sports networks are looking for things, so they don't have to show horse racing.
Yeah. Hopefully they can manage something and they can do something that's good for everyone, because again, even if they do like a big tournament, it's it's not going to be good for anyone. It's like, it's going to be bad for the spectators, for the players, even for them just organizing all that. It's like, hopefully they can manage something and we can get at least like a little Evo online and all that. And I will be fine with that. It's like, again, I'm really sad because I was actually looking forward to this Evo, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, Breakman says, internet connections can drop, power can go out, someone can trip on a cord, no matter why they do it. There's always going to be a mite. And, you know, that is an inherent risk to do an online tournament. I was watching, I think last week, on ESPN2, they had the Madden Bowl, like the final qualifier for the big Madden Bowl, which they've had to move to online events. It used to be in person. Now it's online. They were airing it live on ESPN2, and one of the competitors lagged out. So they had to vamp for like 20 minutes because they were in the second quarter of the game. And basically, off screen, the two people actually had to start the game over, get back to the down in distance and time, and score, which thankfully it was 0-0, so that part was easy, and then they could restart the game. So, like, and that's, that stuff happens, and they've just got to have contingencies for that stuff. So,
and yeah, it's all the online, all the tournaments, not online, but all the tournaments have tried to do something, but yeah, the thing is, the infrastructure is not there yet, especially with fighting games. It's like so many people complain, and with all like fairness, that the online most fighting games, especially the big ones, is like really bad. There are some games that do manage to do netcode right, but we are still like a long ways to go.
Well, at least they're not blaming the controller anymore, right?
There's that.
Now the controllers work great if only the online stuff worked. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Let's see. I am looking at the time. I unfortunately can't take any other calls tonight. We've got to go ahead and get to what's coming up next. Thank you so much for the call, ActDeft. I do appreciate it. Sorry to the other person in the green room. It's nice. I have, you know, people are finally calling back in. Thank you so much for wanting to be on the show. Wish I had more time to get everybody on here. But coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what they're going to talk about tonight. So Sacramento, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. I found the button to make you full screen first time this time. I think I'm getting this new Discord interface.
Right as I'm playing with the TV controls, so I don't get any feedback.
Yes.
Perfect.
I'm learning it all. Yes. Did
That's
you know
all right.
Our Discord server now has video calls in the little in the voice chat rooms? I don't know if that's boost things or something.
Is that because of a boost? Because
maybe.
I thought interesting, because I've been using a server to play like Final Fantasy Online with friends and stuff. And if I'm in the channel, you can see little previews of everybody, but it's just our icons because none of us use video chat when we're playing Final Fantasy.
Right.
So it's yeah.
So I don't know. I may want to play with it with that like or during the week because I'm set up to be able to take video calls. Like if ActDeft had his video on, I would have been able to show his video in the same way that I show yours.
Yeah.
And I'd love to do that again for people I trust.
Yeah, so. That'd be cool. That's yeah, and I'm not surprised at all to hear Discord's trying to add that functionality probably pretty quickly with how fast things like Zoom and so forth have exploded in this, you know, world we're living in right now.
Yeah. So only for people that want video. If you don't want your video on, you can still call in. We'll listen to you. It's totally fine. So how are you doing? How's your week been?
It's all right. You know, it's the same old. It's been 6 weeks or so. Same old thing.
Yeah. What so Final Fantasy Online, you doing Animal Crossing? What else have you been doing this week?
Still doing a lot of 14, of course. Mm-hmm. Animal Crossing, I probably put more hours in that game this week than I had previously just because, as you know, I was focused on the Final Fantasy VII Remake for a while. Checked out Streets of Rage 4. That just came out. Yeah. And thanks to Xbox Game Pass, I was able to download that and check that out. So that was a good, I didn't beat it yet, but I played through a decent amount, and it's old school brawler action, exactly what you'd expect, but instead of like sprites, they use a lot of more like hand-drawn type of stuff, so feels a little more like Castle Crashers-esque, maybe, I don't know if that's a good way to put it, because it's a different type of comic style, but otherwise it's I think very much a 90s brawler that some people have been craving for, so there you go.
Yeah. Game Pass hit 10 million subscribers.
They sure did. Good for them. Probably this whole situation we're in the world probably has something to do with that. Probably more people wanting to check out the game library that's on there. I know Streets of Rage 4 kind of came as a pleasant surprise to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that to go on Game Pass. I guess they probably announced it, but I can't keep track of each and every game that is and isn't going to be on Game Pass. So that was kind of a pleasant surprise, honestly.
But Grand Theft Auto 5 is going away on May 15th.
And games do delist. Like that game I talked about a couple months ago, that Kingsway, it still shows on my computer. I can't play it. So I think it's still taking up space and like the whole, you know, I can't, like it's just a wasted license. So games do get removed. So it's interesting. I wonder what that's going to do for a lot of these like Square Enix games they announced some time ago. Ooh, they're all coming to Game Pass. Well, but for how long?
Right. Well, and they always were up front and saying it's going to be a rotating library and things like they never hid that. And they do give you at most 15 days notice. So you go into Game Pass thing and they say leaving soon. The leaving soon, basically, they delist games on the 15th of the month and at the on the 1st of the month. So if you see it, it's whatever is next. So anything that's on there now, which has like the Banner Saga, Grand Theft Auto 5, that's all going May 15th. So you got 12 days to beat Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, and I'm not accusing them of being disingenuous or anything like that. You know, we knew this was all part of it, but I think maybe because a lot of that library has been carried by Microsoft first party titles, which will never go away, assuredly. Mm-hmm. That I think we kind of maybe forgot this was the thing that kind of would come into play. But and it kind of does, you know, if these games are going to come to Game Pass, how long? Because they're not going to say that in a trailer, you know.
Right.
It could be a month, could be several months. But of course, Final Fantasy 15's been there for a while now.
Yeah.
So.
But DJ Rama S does bring up a good point, is while it's on Game Pass, and if you have Game Pass, you can buy it at a steep discount.
That is true. That is true.
So I'm liking the Game Pass thing. I wish my data cap would stay away forever like it is right now. That's been my only thing that I didn't like about it, but I'm able to work around that.
Now is a good time for Google Stadia, too, and they had quite a few announcements this week.
Yeah.
Maybe if not, and we'll talk a little bit about this during OLR, maybe if not at the level I think their announcements needed to be at to really get people's attention, but they announced a few key partnerships. We'll see. I just don't see them. I kind of feel like by the time the new Xbox launches and then they get their foot out the door with their cloud thing, I think people are just going to kind of forget about Google Stadia. That's my take.
I already forgot about Google Stadia, and I have it.
Whoops.
It's a box right behind me. It's right there. It's that big white box, everybody. That's my Stadia.
Well, guess what? You can play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds right now. It was one of their big announcements.
Woo. Can't wait. What's coming up on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, we're going to dive into the news, even though the news has kind of been slowing down. I think it's a lot of folks are not really in the office and so forth. But there's still a little bit of things going on. In fact, talking about the news, very interesting. We're talking about a four-month event that may take the place of E3. And it's got Jeff Keighley's involvement. So that's why it's kind of like this isn't just any festival. This is a big one. So we'll talk a little bit about that and the 4 months. I also think this is very fascinating. One of the big Overwatch players has announced they're going to switch games. They are no longer, and this guy was the MVP, and now he's going to switch games. So I think this is very interesting as well. Esports drama.
Uh-oh. We'll
get into that.
I hear a lot about that. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Come join us. Be a part of the show. You can leave me a bumper, either audio in MP3 form without your voice or video without your voice. Over at contact me on Discord. VOGNetwork.com/Discord is how you get into our Discord server. Or you can email me bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com if you really want to use email and don't want to add Discord to all your accounts. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch @BobbyBlackWolf. I haven't used Twitch all that much. Although my birthday is coming up. And so I may need to do like a stream where I go into Animal Crossing on my birthday to celebrate birthday in Animal Crossing. So that may or may not happen. I'll be 29 again. It'll be great. You can also submit feedback on this episode for future episodes. Either if you have an account over at VOGNetwork.com already, you can leave a comment there or you go into the Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So I want to thank... we got a new follower. DeJackson81 followed. Thank you so much for the follow tonight. And if auto hosts help, I unfortunately don't get to see everybody who's auto hosting. That Twitch used to show that information. They don't anymore. But thank you. That helps us with our numbers and everything. And really, it's all about the word of mouth is what we're going for here. These are trying times, even though, you know, you can subscribe. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch Prime subscription. Use it on us. And if you're subscribed, you get to see the video on demand of all these podcasts. The audio podcasts will always be free, just like they have been. But if you want to see the video, for whatever reason, it's usually just me looking awkwardly at the camera for an hour. You can subscribe there or bits, but I also tipping us with bits. You can do that as well. But I also understand if you can't right now, and it is not a requirement at all. You being here and us entertaining you for the 4 hours total that we do on Sunday nights is good enough for us. I am now going to step aside and wish you guys a happy week. I might finish Final Fantasy VII Remake this week. I don't know. Anyway, take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.